We're here in the Congressional Corner with our very good friend and one of the most knowledgeable people of all in the United States Congress, Congressman Peter Welch. Peter, this week, your co-senator, Vermont Senator Pat Leahy, told reporters that he's waiting until the winter to decide about running for re-election in 2022. If he decides not to, would you want to be in the Senate?
You know, let's wait and let Patrick make his decision. I feel like I've got the best job in the world. I'm part of the, a lot of Vermonters say this, and so I'll say it, the best congressional delegation in the country with Bernie, Patrick, and me. And, you know, it's so wonderful to be working with two people that I've known for years and who I admire and respect, and that we work as a team for Vermont. I'm hoping Patrick runs. He's the chair of the Appropriations Committee, and he's been incredible, incredible benefit for Vermont. So let's just let Patrick decide, and we'll see what happens once he does. But he's been a gift to us in Vermont.
He certainly has. So let me ask you. Political tea leaf readers pointed to a decision by former New York 22 Representative Anthony Brindisi not to run next year as a bad sign for Democrats and their hopes of holding on to the House. How confident are you that the Democrats will be able to keep control?
Oh, it's tight. There's no question. I mean, let's just look at history. The incumbent president usually loses. So that's against us. Number two, there's been redistricting in many legislators that are dominated by Trump Republicans. That's bad. So our opportunity is going to be based on our ability to deliver things that improve the lives of everyday Americans. And we got off to a really good start with the recovery package. President Biden has done extraordinarily well on getting the vaccines distributed and shots in arms. We've gotten money back to Vermont and all the states to help our hospitals, our schools, our cities, and our towns. So there's a real record of accomplishment here. And I think what President Biden understands and a lot of us understand is doing it is important. And talking about having done it is also important. It's something that we didn't do during the Obama presidency. So our capacity to get reelected is going to be based on our ability to, A, get things done, and, B, remind folks that we've got their back. So I think we can win, but, Alan, it is going to be hard.
You're so right. It is going to be hard, but it is also incredibly crucial.
Right.
I mean, this is so important. I have this question for you, Congressman Welch. Can't the American people be told nationwide in a series of ads what's at stake as opposed to congressional district by congressional district?
Well, it'll be both. I mean, the communications to voters is very, very difficult and very different with social media, with everybody having their own preferred cable network. With the dominance of Fox News, which I think peddles a lot of propaganda. And that really makes an impact on people. It gives them some experience of what they think the world is that can be contrary to what is really out there. So that's a challenge, but that's why it's got to be done energetically in every possible way, starting with the president, who's got the biggest microphone, but also by each of us who have a smaller microphone, by folks on social media, by citizens. But it's a whole new world for us since I first went into politics with social media and the breakdown of local coverage. So you're identifying what is a challenge for all of us, Alan.
Let's talk a little bit about COVID. We've come through it. You know, there's still as many people dying from the disease as happened in a major accident. Is there anything about what we've done with COVID that leaves you unhappy?
Well, a lot. I mean, the Trump administration ignored the threat of it forever. And you had crackpot theories coming right out of the White House that you ought to inject yourself with chlorine, you know, I mean, or disinfectant. It was bizarre. But we're now on the right track. And I think that the effort to, A, create a vaccine is a triumph. That was a partnership between the federal government and a couple of our pharmaceutical companies, where the federal government did provide a lot of funding for research. It did provide a market and a guarantee that we'd buy the product. We did get a negotiated price, by the way, which was really important. And now we have an energetic effort on the part of the Biden administration to get shots in arms. And the Biden administration was able to exceed its goal.
Now, they want to have 1 billion shots given to other countries. Considering U.S. needs, is that a good idea?
Well, two things. American people should come first. And number two, we should worry about other countries. And we have the supply we need so that every American who's willing to present their arm can get a shot. And I hope every American does get a shot. That's going to be the thing we can do to make ourselves safe and make our neighbors safe. But, you know, the world needs to be safe as well, and not just because we want to help other people, but helping them helps us, because the more we can eradicate the virus around the world, the safer all of us are. So, yes, America does get its shots first from American supplies, but then what America has, let's help others get shots so that we protect them and we also increase safety for our own citizens.
Are you satisfied with the way the drug companies have been responding to all of this? Do you think they've been guilty of, you know, being greedy? Or do you think that they've really worked
out? I am a big opponent of price gouging by the pharmaceutical industry, but the pharmaceutical industry does some good things. And this was a case where what they did in the development of these vaccines is a very good thing. And it was done in partnership with federal resources, taxpayer funds, and we reached a negotiated price that was a good price, and pharma made money, but it was not price gouging. So it's an indication to me that if you have that partnership, you can also have price negotiation that's profitable for the pharma company and not a ripoff for the taxpayers.
What do you think of all those Americans who are saying, you know, I'm not going to get him, I don't want to get him, I don't think it's right? Frankly, Peter, it makes me infuriated, but I'm wondering what happens with you.
Well, I think that the evidence, if we look at science about the efficacy of these vaccines, is crystal clear. And so there's a lot of hesitancy for a lot of reasons. And that means that we've just got to, each of us as neighbors and friends, encourage our neighbors and friends who have some hesitancy and try to reassure them that, hey, I got the shot, I'm fine, I feel safe, I'm out there, my kids are safe. Now, there's some folks like, say, Trump, that are just politicizing this and making it political. You can't, they're hopeless, okay? But there's a lot of folks who have apprehension for a variety of reasons, and I think we've got to do everything we can to reassure them. And I think in Vermont we've been doing a good job where, like, we'll have a, you can go to the racetrack and get a shot, and you'll be around folks that share your passion for race car driving. Or you can set it up at the creamy stand. And, you know, you show up and you're talking to folks. You share a love of Vermont maple creamies. And you can get your shot while you're there. So there's some work for each of us to do to help our neighbors who, for whatever reason, are hesitant. Because the higher the vaccination rate, the lower the infection rate. We've seen that in Vermont. And let's focus on getting it out there as opposed to the politics of the Trump denial.
Well, what about mandatory? You know, you say, okay, the lives of Americans are at stake. We fought world wars. We did all of that. Everybody has to get a shot. No compromises.
You know, the reservation I have about making it mandatory is escalating the political battle. Will it be effective to make it mandatory or not? I mean, I'm convinced these shots are absolutely essential for the well-being of my family and the well-being of our country. But will we get more people to get a shot by mandating it, or will we get more resistance? And that's a judgment call. In Vermont, we didn't make it mandatory, but we were successful. You know, we're over 80% now. So I see that as a practical question. And there's an awful lot of people whose hesitance is not because they want to defy anything, but they're worried. So do we want to take the time and give courtesy to their concerns and try to answer them as best we can? Now, you are seeing some cases where institutions are deciding to make it mandatory. And I understand that, like some of these cruise lines. And they're, you know, looking at this from the perspective of passengers who, if they're going to get on a cruise ship, want to be confident that they're not going to be exposed to somebody with the virus. Or schools are making decisions that if you want to come back to school, you got to be vaccinated. And I support the ability of those institutions to do that. But whether government should, I think, is a really tricky question on the question of whether by doing so, mandating it, you actually are going to be successful or harmful.
So, Peter Welch, last question here. Would you ever get on a cruise ship?
I'm not a cruise ship kind of guy. I did take a freighter.
Me neither.
I got a job on a freighter when I ran out of money in South America when I was just getting out of law school. And I was swabbing the decks and painting them and made my way from San Salvador, Brazil, to Lisbon. And it was a great trip. But I was on this huge ship with about 25 people. So that's not
what
a cruise ship kind of material.
It is. It's important. But from my perspective, you wouldn't catch me on a cruise ship. That's for darn sure. Peter Welch, you're wonderful. We so appreciate you showing up and sharing what you know with us. It's always a great wonder to me that you make the time and you do it. And thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you.